Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, 30 for 30. 30 for 30 podcast and the Undefeated present The King of Crenshaw. This four-part series examines how Nipsey Hussle's life, death, and legacy impacted the sports world, particularly the NBA. Hear DeMar DeRozan, Isaiah Thomas, and DeMarcus Cousins, among others, explore the realities of life as a black man in America, Nipsey's dedication to South LA and his community, and how Nipsey inspired millions. The marathon continues. The King of Crenshaw. Listen now on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, ESPN Plus subscribers, join an ESPN Plus Fantasy Football League now for a chance to win $250,000. Sweepstakes is U.S. only, 18 or older. No purchase necessary. Visit ESPN.com/ESPN Plus football rules for full details and official rules. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. We have a little more trivia coming up for you in a little bit. But first, it's that time of week where we have a guest join us. Check them out on First Things First, 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern on FS1. You also may remember him as a quarterfinalist in our charity trivia contest. You got to the quarterfinals, man. I'm giving you props. Final eight, elite eight.
Yeah, Qualcomm Stadium, haunting my dreams. So stupid. The other thing I think had to do with like a Beatles record or something. So dumb. Just an outrage. How's it going, Bo?
Oh, man, it's been a long day, but it's all good over here, man. I feel like this is your time of year, baby. Football season has arrived. I might even be able to come over and watch some football with you some this year now that we got some vaccines in the air.
God, well, yeah, unless you play quarterback for the Patriots, in which case maybe not. Or I guess a lot of the quarterbacks, not just Patriots. So, I mean, just pick on Cam. Yeah, that'd be great. This was our first football season not together since we both lived in New York City. This is a great time of year. And the slowest time for us in our business is usually July and August. But because of the weird NBA schedule, July this year, you know, had a bunch of stuff. So it was really a very abbreviated kind of, you know, slow sports media season. And now we all just get to watch the Chiefs go 20 and up.
That's the funniest thing. The last football game I watched with you, the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl. The last football game there was, I sent your wife a text that said, is he okay? And her response was simply, no.
No, I wasn't. Still not. Don't know that I'll ever be. A lot of things about that game bother me. A lot of, there is a world that exists, and it is not a farcical, impossible to believe world. Where right now, the Super Bowl ring count is Tom Brady 5, Patrick Mahomes 3. There is that. It is 2 years ago, or I guess 3 years ago, the year the Patriots won that awful 13-3 Super Bowl. The Chiefs won the game. Brady threw a pick to lose the game, and D Ford was a quarter inch offsides. So that's one away from Mahomes, one to Brady. And then last year, I don't even care about the Super Bowl. It's the NFC Championship game because the Chiefs would have dog-walked the Packers with or without an offensive line. Brady getting away with throwing 3 second-half interceptions and them still winning that game, I don't know that I can ever forgive Matt LaFleur. But no, instead it's 7-1 Brady Mahomes, and that's going to be quite the hill to climb, Bo. But at least it'll be 7-2 after this year.
Yo, the Brady dilemma is after they win, everybody just jumps into Tom Brady's as good as he's ever been. And he's not. And that's not even a slight to him, because how could you be as good as you were in 2007, right? Like, that was just mind-blowing. But he was not good in the playoffs last year. He was not. And it's like it never happened.
But so here's the thing. And I get it. When he has 7 Super Bowls and no one else has more than 4, there is obviously something he adds to winning that can't be quantified in the stats. But the last 3 Super Bowls he's been in, he's only been excellent in one of them. And it's the one they lost. The Nick Foles Super Bowl, he was off the charts. The Rams Super Bowl, he was bad. Both offenses were terrible. And the Chiefs Super Bowl, he threw for 201 yards. And by the way, he threw for 199 yards against the Saints. But Drew Brees, you know, melted into a puddle like the Wicked Witch of the West in that game, so it didn't matter. But whatever, man, the guy's just going to keep winning. or it has just always kept winning. And this year, I look around the NFC South, Bo. Yeah, I know you, every year, big believer in the Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
You can't believe why people won't believe in the Falcons. So there's the Falcons. There's the Panthers, who are, like, quietly non-competitive. And then it's the Saints, who at least the Saints in their game Monday night, you know, they no longer have a fake decision at quarterback. It's obviously Jameis. And that Callaway kid, maybe he's awesome. I don't know. He seemed awesome on Monday and had been good throughout the preseason. But I think the Saints are not going to be a good football team. They have too much of, like, their cap dedicated to players who aren't on the team. So I guess the Bucs will, you know, make the playoffs again, win the division this year, unlike last year. I don't know. It's just irritating.
Yo, the thing about Brady that you pointed out that is interesting, and I've been saying this for a long time, the best versions of Brady didn't win Super Bowls.
2011.
Yeah, even like that 3 out of 4 years that they won it early. He was all right, right? The third one, he was pretty good. But before that, he was all right. That 9 years where they did not win a Super Bowl, that was the prime of his career. And then he's gotten older and he hasn't been as good. But the teams around him have been subsequently won, which then like throws it off to me when people start talking about how good Tom Brady is or is not, because he's still talking about, I'm going to play till I'm 45. And they had to take out routes out of the playbook to start the year last year, because those were throws that he could not make anymore. The problem is, me and you were right there in 2014 thinking he was done. And then that was 2014, and it's 7 years later. So none of us want to be the one thinking we get out in front of it.
I know, man. But it's also like, so you mentioned the 9 years they didn't win. And then Super Bowl IV, the fourth Super Bowl that he won. And this, again, it's a testament how great he is that he's had so many bites at the apple, that he's been in damn near 15 conference championship games. But when you look at the actual games, the fourth Super Bowl he won against Seattle was gifted. It was he played fine and he played really well late in that game. I give him a ton of credit. But Seattle had that game won. It was gifted. The next Super Bowl that he won was the Falcons 28-3. And again, he was brilliant post pick six for 2.5 quarters in that football game. But if they just take knees after the Julio Jones sideline catch, it's over. The next Super Bowl they won, the Rams scored 3 points.
I was thinking.
His team scored 13. You were at that?
That's
exhilarating.
So boring. Like I don't want to interrupt you what you're saying, but I need to let people understand this. That's the only Super Bowl I have ever been to. Me and Pablo went. We were next to Danielle Smith and Elliot Wilson, cool, hadn't seen them in a minute, making some decent conversation, but we were behind these two Patriots fans who were so nervous that they stood the whole game when the Patriots had the ball, and it was such a boring game that at some point Pablo looked at me and was like, you know what would be great right now? Commercials. Because when you're at the Super Bowl, you can't watch the commercials.
That's right. And by the way, in that year, they didn't get lucky in the Super Bowl, but again, that AFC Championship game, it's over. Brady threw the pick to lose it, but doesn't matter. And then, by the way, it still goes to overtime. They win the coin flip. Mahomes never gets the ball. Then, last year, the Super Bowl obviously was never in question. They dominated that game. But the first playoff game, it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter against Washington's third quarterback, against Heinicke. Then Breeze is up. And then they start turning the ball over, and I don't know that I can get over it. But whatever. It's fine. It is what it is.
What I just always remember about that Super Bowl is looking up, and they put the graphic up, you know, for the starters, the introduction of the pictures, and they put the Chiefs offensive line up and was like, oh, my pick is wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that I saw Rimmers. The problem was I saw Rimmers, and that was the only name I recognized.
You recognized.
And I was like, oh, no. He can't be the one guy I know.
Can I ask you something about – so I think the Chiefs are going to be awesome this year. I mean, they were – let's be honest. They were the best team in football last year. They were 14-1. But the Ravens are a well-run, smart organization. They are ostensibly the second-best team in the AFC. Year over year since Lamar and Mahomes have taken over, right? Is it odd at all to you that the Ravens decided to let the Chiefs have Orlando Brown?
Yes.
Does that at all concern you that maybe there is something that the Ravens know about Orlando Brown that others don't?
They got a first-round pick back for him, right?
It was one of those with the Chiefs traded picks and the Ravens traded picks. So the net result ended up being like the on the value chart. Mm-hmm. He was traded for essentially like a very, very good second round pick.
Yeah, I would be paranoid about that.
I'm a little concerned.
Because it was an interesting situation because what happened with Brown was Ronnie Stanley got hurt and then they put Brown at left tackle, which now he's like, I can get this left tackle money now. You're not going to give it to me because I'm not your left tackle. And so they put him on the market. And yeah, I guess I really hadn't thought about it till you said it. But yeah, that is trading at the top in a way that you don't, like, you wouldn't expect the Patriots and the Steelers to make a trade.
And I'm not necessarily a guy who's like, you don't trade within conference. But if you are the second best team in your conference, you probably don't trade the biggest position of need to the best team in the conference unless you think that team's making a mistake. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the Chiefs, they smartly looked at it and said, the only way this thing gets screwed up is if something happens to Mahomes. And so they just spent all their money and all their offseason reinvesting in that offensive line, which they needed to do.
That was the thing for me is I felt like the Super Bowl was going to be misleading to a lot of people about what the line was. That line wasn't their line, right? Like the line needed to get better, but that line wasn't the line. And then what's his name? Chappelle Jean, MD. Isn't he back?
Oh, DuVernay-Tardif, medical doctor?
Yes.
I think he is back, but he's not one of the starters.
Okay.
Because they, I mean, and Kyle Long is a guy who might, you know, he's injured right now. He's not one of the projected starters. But what killed him was Mitchell Schwartz, who's one of the best offensive linemen in football over the last few years. I know you know his brother, Jeff, and Mitchell's been awesome. He went out mid-season. They kept saying he was going to come back, and he didn't. And then Eric Fisher, who is, like, not good if you look at him as number one overall pick of a draft, but damn good if you look at him as, hey, a left tackle who's there with your team for a decade. He went out late, and they just now all of a sudden you're without both of your starting tackles, one of your starting guards. It was just a disaster.
By the way, the most forgettable number one overall pick ever, and I don't mean that as an insult. It's like if you get people like me who can go through who's the number one pick every year, you get 2013, and that's when the fingers get snapping. And what's wild about it is I'm looking at that draft right now.
It's not a terrible pick.
Not only is it not a terrible pick, if you do that draft again, he's probably the number one overall pick.
Dude, it was such a terrible draft. It was so Chiefs, because the Chiefs at the time, Primo Holmes, were so snake bitten. To have that be the year you have the number one pick.
Yes.
When like 2014 was it 2014 that's an all-time draft? No, 2011's an all-time
draft.
2011's the all-time draft. 2012, is that luck? Yeah, luck and all those guys. 2014, I'm sure, I don't remember, was 2014.
Clowney and Mac. Yes, that's what Clowney won. You could get Mac. There were some dudes. Yep.
Still, and that's not like an overwhelming draft. But 2013, I just remember it was the big discussion was like, is it going to be Eric Fisher or Luke Jokel? And I'm like, you got to be effing kidding me, man.
Dude, I remember like when they said they were going to take Eric Fisher, it felt like that year when the Cavs took Anthony Bennett. Like, I've never been surprised by the first overall pick before.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first time ever I've been like, wow, that's what they did? I've never, think about in all your life, how many times you've ever said that about the number one overall pick. It's not how it works.
Absolutely. But it is a testament. And that's why you were saying he maybe would have still gone number one. He was with the team for a decade and played well. Like, it was fine. But just when you look at it as a guy, number one pick of a draft, you think you're going to be a superstar.
Yeah, man. Now, this is going to be, I guess most of the guys in the league have gotten vaccinated because most of them honestly couldn't afford to not get vaccinated, right? Like, you could not be sure that you were going to have a job without the vaccine.
Yeah, I don't know how much you want to go down this road so you can steer us wherever you want, obviously. Did you see Jerry Jones's comments?
Basically, it's about time to talk about the we and not the I.
Yeah. Do these folks not realize that if you are still pounding the how dare you imply one has some type of social responsibility to get the vaccine, you are ceding the moral high ground to Jerry Jones? Like, I really think I am approaching a point where I am less irritated by the folks who are like, you know, they're injecting you with nanorobots and you'll be dead in 6 months. I think I'm less annoyed with those people than the that's HIPAA to me, and how dare you ask me, and that's a personal choice. Where are these folks on the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine that we all are injected with as babies? Yeah. Where are these, like, the Cam thing, I've always supported Cam. I've always rooted for Cam. Cam's career is hanging by a thread. And the fact that he wouldn't take the proactive step when last year you could argue what derailed his season. He got COVID.
Right.
I think derailed his season. My older daughter, Bomani Diora, this morning, high school volleyball practice started. Guess what? Not allowed to play if you don't have the vaccine. Okay. So it's not that big of an imposition for NFL players. The whole thing is I'm losing my patience with it.
See,
I'll stop ranting in a moment. You and I were both exceptionally cautious pre-vaccine. Exceptionally. You're one of my best friends in the world. You live 20 blocks from me. I saw you in person once, and it was because you were dropping off a birthday present for my daughter, and you didn't come in the house. I then let my guard down a little bit. And now I'm starting to raise the caution meter again because it feels like we're getting less and less safe because of the Delta variant. And it's just so irritating. It's just so irritating.
So Cam is interesting because I think an easy counter argument to make with a lot of people with the vaccine is, oh, you'll take all these painkillers, but you won't take the vaccine. Except he's one of the people to be like, no, actually, I wouldn't. He's a bit of an absolutist about what goes into his body. I don't think now is the time to be playing that game. I don't think now is the time to see it, but he's one of those people where I look at it and I'm like, I see how you got here, even though I think that like what you're doing is probably utterly ridiculous. Like I've seen people put out some data to try to indicate that if you've had it already, then the antibody resistance that you develop is then as strong as the vaccine. Oh, well, we can't double this up. You know what I'm saying? We can't do both. I'd be trying to do both myself.
Well, listen, what nobody has put out there is that if you've had it before, the vaccine hurts you. And whether or not you think there's the societal obligation, public health, and then there is the fact that he wouldn't be missing these 5 days if he were vaccinated because there's different rules. You can say the NFL's rules suck. Those are the rules. And I don't think Cam's going to lose week one starting job to Mac Jones, but it's in play. It's absolutely in play if Mac Jones lights it up at these practices, that he closes the gap. And then what makes anybody think that any of these guys that are dealing with, not that they caught it, but that they are in a protocol because of the stringent requirements for non-vaccinated players, that it's not going to happen again? You know, it's not going to repeatedly potentially be an issue. Like Cole Beasley's in the protocol right now. And he wouldn't be if he were vaccinated. It's just frustrating.
Yo, with Cole Beasley, it'll be so funny if he just keeps winding up in protocol but not catching it. I just can't imagine how annoyed.
Well, especially because you saw Beasley. Beasley was around a vaccinated guy who tested positive.
Oh, yeah.
Beasley, unvaccinated, test negative, at least as of this recording, and he's still in the protocol. Can you imagine what he is posting under pseudonyms right now on the internet about this situation? Can you imagine?
He is furious. Like, I just can't imagine how annoyed he is by the whole thing. He gonna come back after day five. Because one thing that I find interesting about him and the way he handles this is he'll never seem to say nothing on camera. He just does it all on the tweets. So he can't quite become the mascot of all of this. Like, we don't wind up with but I think he's going to be mad enough to say something this time.
Oh, I think that's right. I think it's interesting. Kevin Wilds, who I do the TV show with, made this point, and I thought it was a good one, that he was far more disturbed when DeAndre Hopkins said what he said than with Beasley. And I asked why, and he was like, because I don't think Cole Beasley's a serious person. He's like, DeAndre Hopkins is. He's like, I've heard DeAndre Hopkins talk about a lot of things. He's an intelligent guy. He seems to do some really important things. It was like Beasley, he looked at it as, okay, so Beasley's just a joke, essentially, so I don't care what he says. With Nuke, it was like, this is more disappointing. So, this is what, like, right now Beasley is most known for. It's like, I know he called himself the best slot receiver in the NFL. No, you're not. But yeah, I think you're right. He'll do something in front of the camera at some point. There's no doubt about it.
This is an interesting football season. Talked a little bit about what's going on with the Saints. Hey, man, it ain't very often that we get like a real quarterback competition, right? One where we go in and we're kind of like, I don't know how this is going to go. And then it went a little while and we realized, oh, actually, this isn't a real quarterback competition. There's a quarterback and a Taysom Hill.
Correct. And do you know yesterday Taysom Hill turned 31 years old?
Yes.
He's 31. Guys, and here's the other thing. He's good at the other stuff.
Yes.
Like, he's a useful player on your team as long as he's not playing quarterback. And to me, what should have been the signal for everyone that this is about Sean Payton's ego was when they put out there that he had signed a four-year, $140 million deal. When it was a zero-year, $0 million deal, they were just trying to spread out his cap hit for this year. So they could have called that a four-year X million. It wouldn't have mattered. The fact that they called it 140 to make it briefly appear like they signed him to a starting quarterback contract to trick dumb people, it's all about Payton's ego. And listen, Sean Payton's obviously a very good play caller and I think a good head coach. But his ego, I believe, cost the Saints Michael Thomas, maybe forever. Because if you remember, week one against the Bucs, with a minute left, he has Michael Thomas on the field with the game decided trying to run up the score. That's where he got hurt. He was trying to run the score up on Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. That's my division. That's where Michael Thomas got hurt. He was mad he was in the game. Now that relationship seems fractured. Michael Thomas, that was a serious injury. And now the fact that he wouldn't just announce Jameis as the starter was moderately concerning, but I think everybody knows Jameis is starting. By the way, and I said this on television this morning, I want to make this very clear. This is not a pro Jameis Winston take. I'm not here saying, oh, Jameis got LASIK, he's going to fix the turnovers. Jameis, it might not work out at all. It's not a pro Jameis take. This is an anti-Taysom Hill take. He's not a quarterback. Flatly, he's not a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not confident enough or invested enough to make a pro Jameis take. However, I looked on Monday, and look, that's a preseason game. We can only take so much in preseason no matter what. However, like one, he's too young to be at I'm in the best shape of my life territory. But he was, in fact, in the best shape of his life. Apparently, he went to a finishing school or Morehouse or something, because now he's trying to make sure all his verbs conjugate when he talked to y'all. Like, he had gotten a little loose with it and thought he could just be himself around white folks. And it's like, no, no, no. Let me make sure that they understand that I also know some things. You know, cheerio. And he's got, you know, he started all working all of that in. Like he went all the way on the Humble Himself program. And the truth is, if he just stops making, like, why did you do that decision? Like I think I don't know if I ever told you the story, but I feel like this is Jameis playing quarterback. So when I was in eighth grade, we were having this contest and they gave us some straws, some tinfoil, and some tape. And they told us to make a raft. And then we were going to put like weights from science class into the raft. And whoever's heavy raft was the heaviest got to go to Johnson Space Center. Right. Like this was the thing. And of course, everybody thinks I'm going to win this because I'm a smart kid. Right. Man, I got to thinking and I got to thinking. And next thing I know, my raft was about that big and that thing couldn't even hold one weight. One of the people on the team that won, when he would read in front of the class, whoever was sitting next to him would always be nice enough to help him read for it. Right. I'm not saying that to insult him. I'm saying that that's the dude that beat me in the boat making contest because I thought that thing to death. And you know what he did? He just made a rectangle, basically, and put the sides up and put the straws on the side, and boom, that was it. He didn't get at no thought, right? He just folded that into a square, and boom, they made it happen. That's what I always thought with Jameis, because, you know, people always talked about how great he is on the, you know, on film study and the whiteboard and everything else, and he get out there and think he can outsmart the game, and next thing you know, he's throwing the ball right at the other team. Plus, he can't see, right? Like, all his problems seem correctable. Like, he's the guy that I could see a quarterback coach being like, oh, nah. I can fix that.
The vision thing is fascinating. Is that if his eyes were truly bad, like because he got LASIK and we hadn't started since then. But what's odd about Jameis is aside from the 30 interception year, he had never had a 20 interception year. It was he was like one pick a game plus like a fumble every other game or almost a fumble a game. It was the interceptions plus the fumbles. And so he's just so loose with the ball. But he also was the quarterback for one of the greatest college football teams of the last 20 years, right? That's not an overstatement. Ever. Is your
ever.
Okay. Yeah, you're my college football guy that I trust on this. That Florida State team was unbelievable. And he obviously has a bunch of talent. So to me, it's a very obvious choice for the Saints. Now, it might not matter because I don't know how good the roster as a whole is, especially if Michael Thomas isn't playing, but he has to be the guy.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen if Jameis like really comes out here and balls, because the NFL has to turn everything into a redemption story, and ain't everybody going to be ready for that, dog. Ain't everybody ready to hear that. Like this, yo, this Deshaun Watson thing, I have no idea what that's going to be.
I'm not comfortable talking about it. Deshaun Watson is on the Nick Wright exempt list. He's not included in top 10 quarterbacks lists. I don't know how to talk about
that's what I was, that's the thing. I don't know at this point. What's so wild, though, is he still wants to be traded, right? Like above all of this, his eye is still on the get me out of here prize, but there's nowhere for him to go. Nobody can take you right now.
And maybe he wants to be traded like while he's still allowed to leave the jurisdiction.
Yes.
Like the clock's ticking. That is a stunning story, a horrifying story in a million ways, and a story that I can just be totally, you know, honest here. I feel like the listeners of The Right Time are smarter than average, better looking than average group of people. I mean, it's a safe space. It is such a difficult conversation, like, thing to discuss, because A, it's an awkward subject matter, and B, you don't want to say the wrong thing in a short television soundbite. And so it feels like everyone has, I forgot what list there was. I think it was NFL.com was doing the top 10 of every position. It might have been your shop. I'm not sure. Somebody was doing top 10 of every position. And Deshaun was just left out of it. I'm like, I don't think he got no votes. I was like, there's no world that exists where it's like he's not one of the 10 best quarterbacks. But I don't think people want to have to be like, well, obviously talking about him as a football player right now, it's kind of horrifying. Like, it's like, you know what? Screw it. He's just not included. He's not involved in it. And meanwhile, David Culley is like, okay. do you think David Culley and Steven Silas –
right.
Just text each other.
Right.
Like, you got to be
right. Keeping in mind the team is awful.
Awful.
Right, right. Like, it's like on top of everything else, they're really bad. So Watson doesn't want to be there. The team doesn't really want him to be there. I think the saving grace in this, for lack of a better term, for them is I don't think the NFL has any incentive whatsoever to find any information and then punish Watson. Right. So it's one thing when it's a case like, say, the Ben Roethlisberger case of 10 or 11 years ago, where the cops have gotten involved in this. It is clear that the people think that something has gone wrong. Like, there's a little bit of mystery involved. But the truth was, the way it was covered at the time, we acknowledged that there was not enough for Roethlisberger to go to court on. But people had a pretty strong opinion on what he did or did not do on that one. Watson's thing is a bit grayer, right? And so if there's a measure of mystery involved, the NFL, it feels like it's going to go in line with whatever the agenda happens to be. And the NFL has nothing to gain from branding Deshaun Watson as someone who does these things. Nothing to gain.
A sexual predator. That's correct. But here's the other thing, though. What's also true is one of the reasons there's a gray area, I think, because we, the collective we, haven't talked about this story on television and radio maybe as much as we should, because a lot of your colleagues and Sports Illustrated folks and the folks who have reported on this stuff, it doesn't seem all that gray to me. Seems pretty clear what I believe was going down, and I think it's pretty clear it would be a pretty vast conspiracy,
right,
to go get Deshaun Watson for him not to have done some really, really troubling and, I believe, probably illegal things. But I don't think the public as a whole, like, what percentage of football fans have read all those stories,
right,
or even many of them? Probably not that many. So I think it hasn't been front and center the way some of these other stories have been. And it's also just a super uncomfortable subject matter. And like I said, it's hard to talk about because it doesn't involve like the visceral violence of like the Ray Rice video. You know what I mean? That it's that it does feel, if you haven't read the actual testimonials from the alleged victims, it does feel like, well, wait, what was going on? Was it that? And so, yeah, I think you're right that the NFL would like to have this go away, but you know, that happens. And then here's the other thing that happens. The FBI is investigating. It's like, oh, they usually tend to get to the bottom of things if they want to, if it's a priority. So I have no idea what's going to happen.
My thing with Watson is your defense is all 22 of them are lying.
Correct.
That's a tough sell. No matter who you are.
Tough defense. And some of the, I want to get the journalist's name right. I believe Jenny Vrentis, but I might be wrong. Okay, that is correct.
At Sports Illustrated.
She got a testimonial from a woman who's not part of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is incredibly compelling. Not that because you're a part of a lawsuit, your credibility is lessened. I'm not saying that. But somebody who's like, hey, I'm not even suing, but here's what happened to me, and it sure as hell lines up. It's whenever it is a group of more than two unrelated people saying something happened, I understand for if I were on a jury and it's to put you in jail, I need more than that. But the court of public opinion and the court of Nick Wright's mind does not need beyond a reasonable doubt. It's like, what's my gut telling me?
Right.
My gut's telling me these 22 women are not lying.
Yeah. Now, want to ask you this before we get out of here so we can get out of here on a bit of a lighter note. How much faith you got in Josh Allen this year? I have no idea what to do with him. He was so good last year by the end, and I have no idea what to do.
So I think he'll be good. I think that Diggs is awesome. I think they obviously have good play callers. I think he clearly has a ton of talent. I don't trust his decision-making a lot, but he can get away with a lot of it. But that's like the milquetoast take. Here's, I'm going to put a question back to you. They paid him as if he is Mahomes almost. Like, and by the way, he'll, some would say his contract is more player-friendly than Mahomes because he'll get another bite at the apple. But they paid him like he is the second best quarterback in the NFL. And it's a 6-year extension. So it's really an 8-year deal. What do you think's more likely? That that deal becomes a bargain or that they regret it? If it's only one of the two.
I think it's more likely it becomes a bargain. I don't think they're going to regret it. Just because the way these things go and the way they stack up. And then one day we look up and then Josh Allen pops up and says he's underpaid. My thing is, that's the biggest one-year leap we have ever seen. And it's not just a one-year leap within the NFL. It is a one-year leap based on his actual production at every single level of football.
Correct.
JV, varsity, JUCO, D1, NFL. We've never seen anybody make a jump like that before.
You don't, but he doesn't have to get better though. He just has to really maintain.
Right, right. Because getting better is too much to ask. Deal. Getting better is asking him to be Dan Marino, basically.
It's can he maintain it? But that's why I would lean to the odds are probably it's option C that they're everyone's fine with it. But if it's that ends up he ends up exceeding the contract, or I think it's more likely this is a Carson Wentz type situation. Like, isn't that on the board? That it was one special year that you never recapture, even if I'm not betting on that. I think that's at least on the board of possibilities.
Well, what you got to hope for best case scenario with Josh Allen, because this still popped up last year. They just didn't pay the consequences for them. And it came up, as I recall, in the playoffs at the end. He still makes panic plays. Like, the thing about him that has to get you is if everything's not running right, because one thing he had last year, and I watched this a bunch of time, and then even if there is a free rusher, if you send a free rusher at Josh Allen and he wear number 25, that's a bug on a windshield, baby. He can't do anything with that. But when the panic comes and he still has all the confidence in the world in his body and what he can physically do, if he keeps making panic plays, the other stuff doesn't matter. Like, that's the issue with Jimmy Garoppolo with the 49ers, is you can point to all these different things that he did well and all these numbers and all these games. But I watched that man throw a pass in the Super Bowl with his eyes closed. And you can't win like that.
The first playoff game that they played against the Colts, there was a really close call right at the goal line that ended up being a super positive play. But then at the very end, because remember, I'm watching that game. If they win, I got to get doused with ketchup and mustard and, you know, the whole thing. So I'm really heavily invested in this. The very end of the game, he fumbles the ball at midfield to lose the game. And the Bills happen to recover it. in one of those panic play spots trying to do too much. Obviously, his talent level is the very top of the second tier in the league. Like, the first tier just talent is Mahomes, Lamar, and Rodgers in different ways for those guys. But those guys, Josh Allen is as or more talented than everybody else from his arm and his physicality, his body, all that stuff. But, yeah, I need to see him do it again. Now, like, will he? Maybe. But I need – he doesn't have to make another leap. You don't get I think Bill Barnwell says this, but he's right. Or it might be Kevin Clark. You don't get 30% better every year. You take one major leap, and then you try to tweak a little bit. But it wouldn't shock me if he regresses. It is, and I know you've talked to this a lot, so we don't have to get into it. But there is not the discussion of, like, will the league figure out Josh Allen the way there is with Lamar? Lamar and Josh Allen are interesting in that you can't say Lamar's never reached the level Josh Allen reached last year. He was the unanimous MVP of the league 2 years ago. And Lamar's never had a bad year in the NFL, right? But I guess Josh Allen's won two playoff games. Lamar's won one. But okay. Like, but there is, to me, a much more healthy skepticism of Lamar than Josh. And by the way, I'm not certain that Lamar's going to fix some of the issues that are recurring issues for him. Just like I'm not sure Josh is going to fix some of the recurring issues.
Yeah, we are going to see, man. I want to ask you this. It's Nick Wright. Check him out. First things first on FS1, 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern, Monday through Friday. I don't know if you got a little time, but we're going to do a little trivia here. You can watch. You can't play.
Okay.
But you can.
All right. Goodbye.
You can, like,
can I hang up on a podcast?
I'm just saying, if you want to, if you want to observe it, you can. It's an option.
No, I don't, actually. I have no interest whatsoever, but I hope your sports trivia tournament that involved, a Rolling Stones record, and by the way, rest in peace to the Rolling Stones drummer, corporate marketing of a baseball stadium. I hope that works really well for you. I'll talk to you later, Bo.
Yeah. Have fun.
Bye.
Welcome to the Bomani Jones Right Time Trivia Tournament. Guess what, guys? It's the finals.
Yeah!
We got a big matchup. We'll get to that in a second, but first, let me give you the rules. We got two contestants, 5 questions apiece, 1 lifeline to turn your question into multiple choice. Whoever gets the most right, they win. Now, on to the contestants and who they are playing for. Up first, we got the man with more books than Jordan got championships, Mr. Howard Bryant. Welcome back to the show for the third time, my friend.
For the third time. Oh, you know what? And this time in person, so I'm not on the Amtrak.
And you own 7 books.
7?
Dominique just said you own 7 books.
Oh,
you got more books than Jordan has championships.
I meant wrote. Has written more books.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were talking about book ownership. I was like, that's actually not very impressive, Dominique. And it turns out that I'm the ass.
I know that I cannot hide nothing from him in the book. He will find it immediately.
I got to catch Russell, though. One more.
Okay, sounds good. All right, that's the next one. So who are you playing for?
I'm playing for all the marbles right now for Amherst Cinema, since Bomani Jones has set up a tournament where there is no second place. So I am playing for all the marbles for Amherst Cinema.
Hardest questions that you get every week is who are you playing for? I love
that's
the
true.
Because I know that there are several other charities that you wanted to play for, but Gabe was like, nah, we can't do that.
Gabe shot everything down. He wouldn't let me do it.
All right. Well, we'll see if Amherst gets that money or if the man that you're going up against, the Jones that everyone can't keep up with, the man with his name on the tournament, it somehow got you to wear the shirt. He got you to wear the shirt, Mr. Bomani Jones.
You see this.
We got a calm, confident, laid back. Who are you playing for today, Mr. Jones?
I am playing for the National Diaper Bank Network. And to let you guys know, we started a campaign last year to raise money for them that raised $36,000. We are trying to get it up to $41,000 by Thursday, August 26th. So you can go to ilovejoshallen.com. It's a long story, but if you go to the link, you'll get there. And then you can donate to the National Diaper Bank Network.
I got so many Bills Mafia people coming up to me in the street, as is normally the case. Like, nobody is a f***ing person. Everybody's just like, so, oh, man, I love what you do. And they like some playful banter and it is fun. So I guess I like them, or at least some of them. All right. So, Howard, you get to go first, sir.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just following the script. I am no real
game. Just
though
you know, I have no involvement in the way that this thing is run at all. None. I don't talk to nobody. I don't know nothing.
That is true. I mean, I can vouch for the integrity of the tournament. I cannot vouch for the difficulty of the questions. Here we go. Which quarterback threw his first NFL completion to himself? A medium question. We're skipping right past easy since we're in the finals. We're starting with medium. So there is a quarterback whose first NFL completion was to himself.
His first completion was to himself.
I'm trying to imagine. I can only think of like two guys that I remember like doing it, like the deflection.
Yeah, I felt like I used to know this, but I don't forgot.
Well, you could use your lifeline on the first question.
That's kind of early.
I don't know how that works.
That's kind of early. I do not know the answer to this. I'm going to take a wild guess, thinking that I remember seeing this somewhere. I don't know. I'm going to go Pittsburgh Steelers, Bubby Brister.
Oh, wow. Is it Brett Favre?
It is Brett Favre.
It's Brett Favre.
We out here, Brett Favre. Yes, it's Brett Favre. So
I was going to say, I know Doug Flutie, I think, did it as well. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was his first completion.
Yeah, Steve Young scored a touchdown on one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But it definitely wasn't his first completion. All right.
I'm up 1-0.
You know we don't do steals. Stop trying to change the rules.
Steals.
We don't do steals.
It helped.
Maybe in next year's tournament. All right. Who was the first woman to play for the Harlem Globetrotters?
Oh, my God. I forgot her name. Lynette Woodard.
Boom. Big time. Wow. Pulled that one out. That was impressive. Wow. I certainly did not know that one. That is, can you tell us the story? Have you ever seen Slumdog Millionaire, where all the questions that he answered, they like gave you a little backstory on how he figured it out? I'm wondering where you picked this up, or it's just general knowledge that you have.
General knowledge. Man. I remember when it happened.
Oh, so impressive. All right. I assume they beat the Generals because they always do. Which MLB team became the first to show players' last names on the back of their jerseys in 1960?
The first.
Mm-hmm. I assume, was this just about like, we got to be team first? Is that why the MLB just one of these unwritten rules things?
I think they was being cheap.
Okay. It's even worse. I remember Pop Warner. We used to have to wear the jersey from last year's team.
I don't know the answer
terrible.
To this one either. Now I should just go back and think of the jerseys.
Still got your lifeline. This is the first hard question of three more to go.
I don't think a lifeline's going to help me. I am going to say, I think about this.
I guess it's already narrowed down to the number of teams. It's not a complete wild guess, so lifeline is less valuable here than it would be elsewhere.
Yeah, I was going to go either. I'm leaning toward thinking in the years.
1960.
60, I'm thinking.
I got a guess.
I'm thinking it's either the Chicago White Sox or the Cincinnati Reds. I'm thinking that's the only two that I can really think of. I'm going to go Cincinnati Reds.
Mr. Jones?
I was going like the St. Louis Browns, like some Bill Veeck type stuff.
They were already gone by then. They were in Baltimore.
Okay. So, whoever Bill Veeck, I was just thinking Bill Veeck. Who we got?
This could be the question that changes the tournament. It was the White Sox. You were so close.
I was going to say it's the White Sox or the goddamn Reds.
Wow. That was impressive enough that you got it down to those two. And it took all the strength in my body not to make a face when you narrowed it down.
Glad you didn't.
Yeah, I'm a great host.
Oh, that hurts. White Sox were my first choice.
You already pulled that Woodard out your black and proud ass. I don't know why you worried about anything else.
All right. I don't second guess yourself. First impressions always failed. Go.
This player averaged an NCAA record 44 points before the three-point line was established.
No. Pete Maravich.
Nailed it. Two.
That's so easy.
Man, that was impressive. That was impressive.
I can't believe I got the White Sox wrong. Oh my God.
Okay, well, this is the pivotal one. I mean, I don't think very many people have gotten three or four. So this is a big question right here. The last one, I'm going to assume that you'll use your lifeline, so I will go straight through and read it. How far was Ove Johannesson's 1976 field goal against East Texas State, the longest in college football history. 61 yards, 66 yards, 69 yards, or 70 yards?
I'm going to say 69 yards.
Boom! The man got it.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Three.
You got to get three to force us into overtime. Oh, he almost had four on you.
I can't believe I got the White Sox. That was the first impression. Go with the first impression.
I got
impression.
Brett Favre, right?
Oh, man. He is putting the pressure on you.
I got one so far in five questions.
Sorry. We don't do steals. You have to talk to management for next year. Here we go. Which is the only Division I school to have a penguin as a mascot?
Youngstown State.
Nailed it. Medium question out the gate. All right. Which player holds the NHL record for most goals scored in a rookie season with 76?
Wow. Rookie 76. So that had to be like in the 80s or early 90s type place. I'm going to go with Mario Lemieux.
Timu Solani.
Solani,
yeah.
All right. Which MLB team produced a fifth consecutive Rookie of the Year when Todd Hollinsworth received the award in 1996?
That, I'm going to slow it down so we can make these things compelling.
That, stop.
I'm just saying. I don't want to run through the time so fast. The answer is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Wow. You got it.
It was like Eric Karros, Mike Piazza, Hollinsworth, Hideo Nomo. I forget who got the other one.
Showing off. You don't get extra points for all that. That's impressive.
I just need people to remember I'm here.
I remember when the Colts, the football team, they had the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year recently with Darius Leonard and who's that guard? The guard.
Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, and Quentin Nelson. And I remember writing about other teams who had done similar things. And I think the Dodgers were one of the teams who also had two rookie of the years in the same year. Was it like the... It might have been a Cy Young in the rookie year. Anyway, my memory shot. CTE, it's not
still
a joke.
Still impressed.
All right, here we go. Which is the only Olympic Games where neither the U.S. men's nor women's team won any medals in basketball?
So, I kind of feel like I don't think you're hitting me with a technicality on this. The answer can only be one year. And if you try to be jerks about it, I'm going to clarify that you were not specific enough in your question.
Okay.
But the only year that neither of them won a medal would have to be the only year neither of them went, which would be 1980.
Moscow, 1980. That's impressive. That's three.
So it's tied up.
Pressure is on. We could be going to overtime. Or put it all away right now. You still have your lifeline. You both saved them for the last question. So here we go. Which is the oldest team in the NFL originally formed as the Morgan Athletic Club in 1898? Either the Cardinals, the Saints, the Vikings, or the Giants? A 1898 question for you, Bo. How does that make you feel?
All right. Cardinals, the Saints, the Vikings, or the Giants? And they were called the Morgan Club.
Morgan Athletic Club.
So one thing I know is that it can't be the Saints or the Vikings. They are late arrivers to the league. So that narrows us down to the Giants and the Cardinals. And I feel like if the Giants were the first NFL team, we'd have heard about that all the time. So I am going to go with the Cardinals, who used to play in Chicago.
Man, I feel like this needs to be a dramatic moment. Build it up. I don't know if Gabe's going to have music or not. You get to keep your name on the tournament.
Hell yeah! Amani Jones
is the champ.
Hell yeah! Diapers for everybody! Everybody getting diapers!
You get a diaper!
Yes! Yes! There will be so many fewer itchy, funky kids out here, all because of me.
All because of me, because I up the goddamn White Sox.
Thank you for what you do for the babies, Howard Bryant. Thank you for what you do for the babies.
I am going to be very grateful and say congratulations to my man, Bomani Jones. I am extremely disappointed in myself, but hey, man, that's a good battle.
If everyone out here could understand, do you know what it is like to be me, to come in here with all this pressure against all these competitors, with all this knowledge, with my name on the shirt, with all these people out here waiting for me to fail? You know why they say he hate me on the back of my shirt? Because he hate me. That's why I say that. Because he hate me.
I feel like I'm in the locker room with every team that I ever
Why are we allowing the losers to speak when the champion is on the mic? I don't understand.
He's out of control.
I can't hear the voice of a loser right now. Not that he's a loser as a person. He simply lost today. Talk again tomorrow. For now, it's about me. It's about the babies. It's about Joe Anderson. You lost. in the second round. It's about Nick Wright, who came on here salty. It's about Nina Khan, who unfortunately thought that competing against Joel meant that she would go against somebody gracious. And he wasn't gracious. And I'm not either. I beat you too. My man Shannon Penn. I wish we could have done it in the finals, baby. The rest of these cats ain't deserve to compete against us. Who else I missed? Who did I not? Spencer Hall. Hey, man. Out here embarrassing the race in front of us. Go back to Tennessee and tell them you lost a trivia contest to us. Let us see how that go. Did I get everybody?
Start off now.
Oh my gosh! This is wild.
I can't believe my
Woo! Sentiment Amherst is taking a step back today.
Oh, man, so I needed this. I had no idea how much I wanted to win it until I did.
Oh, we know. I didn't know idea how much Howard
cared.
Why
don't you just pull your Bill Murray in Kingpin? I couldn't have lost to a guy with one hand. I mean, yes. What would that have looked like?
That's what I'm saying. I want to send a shout out to Bob Costas. You know what I'm saying? Bob Costas. I'm going to be on. Because I'm on it. Back on the record with Bob Costas Friday night.
Oh, man.
August 27th at 11 o'clock. Executive producer, Howard Bryant. He's executive producer. He's good at it, too. You know why? We'll be asking trivia questions like that.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah. I just want to say one last thing, just to make sure that people just. I need people to understand why there was such an outpouring in this moment.
I need to know because this is the first we've discussed it.
It's because, man, I paid my dues time after time. Paid my sins. I committed no crimes. No mistakes. I made a few. Took, you know, shoves and kicks in my back. But I ain't gonna lose.
Nobody thought we could win.
Me are the champions.
How long do I have to listen to this? Can I sign off?
I don't think you got friends.
You can sign off right now. You know why? No time for losers. Me are the champions. By the way, where does $5,000 coming from? Or wherever this money is. But hey, honestly. I really thank everybody who participated in this. Gabe came up with this, put it all together, executed it. What a fantastic idea. We're doing good things for good people. I thank all my people who came on to do this because all this banter, there's a lot of people who don't even know each other like that. We just had a real cool vibe and everybody had a great time and it was no hard feelings until I had to come out here and win and remind y'all who the hardest of all the feelings out here in these streets. We got that done. Dominique Foxworth, great job hosting. Great job. You did an amazing job. Honestly, for you, the best part of this has to be you're the only one who did not, by transitivity or directly, catch his L. You know what I'm saying? Me and you's undefeated.
I have a statement coming out later tonight.
Oh, God.
Anybody going to hear it, man?
Oh, they'll hear it. They'll listen. People listen still.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us on the right time. We do this thing about three times a week. Gabe Bassett and Dave Presley handle everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Remember, follow the right time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars.
I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we will talk to you in a couple of days when I will still be the champ.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.